here we go again with the travel ban and the courts pushing back on it. President Trump's travel ban 2.0 was supposed to go into effect today, but two federal judges, one in Hawaii, the other in Maryland, put it on hold. Yes, we have been here before. Trump's new executive order temporarily bans travel to the U.S. for citizens from six countries, as opposed to the original seven. Iraq is not on the list anymore, but Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen are. There are also other differences, but President Trump himself doesn't seem to think that the two versions of his travel ban are all that different. Here he is speaking in Tennessee last night.
The lawyers all said, oh, let's tailor it. This is a watered-down version of the first one. This is a watered-down version. And let me tell you something. I think we ought to go back to the first one and go all the way, which is what I wanted to do in the first place.
Trump's first travel ban was halted because the courts found, in part, that the measure discriminated on the basis of people's religion, Muslims specifically. And it's a similar story with a new one, according to Mana Yagani. She's an immigration lawyer based in Houston.
Religious discrimination pretty much sums up both judges' rulings.
Right. And these are words that Trump spoke on the campaign trail about targeting Muslims. So if this is the case, religious discrimination in this travel ban, it's embedded in it. Is there any version of the ban that'll cut legal muster?
That's the million-dollar question, whether the Trump administration can proceed with this and to avoid the religious discrimination issue that these judges are seeing. So the president has a double task ahead of him right now with respect to these two decisions from the federal judges.
Right, but it's applied to the entire country, correct?
Correct. The ruling is a temporary restraining order nationwide. If the Trump lawyers wanted to appeal this, if they wanted to appeal the Maryland decision, it would go to the Fourth Circuit. And if they wanted to appeal the federal judge's decision in Hawaii, it would go to the Ninth Circuit.
So remind us again, what was different about the revised travel ban and the earlier one from January that Trump had to retreat from?
The revised travel ban had excluded green card holders, and it had also said that if someone currently has a valid visa, they would be able to travel to the United States. Also, it eliminated Iraq from the list of banned countries, taking, you know, seven countries and reducing it to six countries. However, the predicament here is that in the first order, the president had said that the existing screening procedures are very defective for these countries listed. And as a result of that, we have to put a blanket ban to stop these people from coming in. But then in the new order, the president said somehow the current screening is good enough to assure anyone who already has a visa can safely be exempted from the national ban. So, you know, there's contradicting statements as to the motive and the goal of this order. If it's for national security, then how are they making this exemptions for those who already have visas if they're saying the screening is defective?
Mm.
What was interesting is one of the law professors this morning said that the political surrogates for Trump are throwing red meat in the media, and then the Justice Department lawyers are talking like vegans in court. There's a contradicting vibe that's coming out of the White House.
So do the actions of these two federal judges in Hawaii and Maryland effectively halt the implementation of this travel ban now? And like if you're from Yemen, for example, and you have a visa, can you now, because of the actions of these two judges, can you now travel to the U.S. and pass customs?
That's correct. If you are from any of those listed countries, the travel ban does not apply to you and you may travel to the United States with a valid visa. However, the problem that the travelers will have is we don't know what will be the next action and how long these travelers have to make their way to the United States. If an emergency stay is filed, how soon will that be ruled on and how will that affect those who are en route with their visas trying to make it to the United States?
Mana, you're an immigration lawyer. I know you've got clients who are currently or might be affected by the revised ban. Describe how they're feeling with this legal roller coaster, a new ban, then judges say no, it doesn't hold up. And what are they feeling? What are they going through?
It's a very tumultuous experience for them. It's a very uncertain feeling. Yesterday, I met with an Iranian couple. The husband is a student at Texas A&M studying engineering, and his wife is here with him. However, her visa is about to expire in July. And they came to see me for a consultation because she did not know what to do. If she were to leave the country to go back to Iran or go to one of the U.S. embassies to renew her visa, she may be subject to the travel ban and not be able to come back to be reunited with her husband. If she doesn't leave the country, she's violating the terms of her visa. So they were very desperate, almost in tears, saying that, you know, they want to follow the law and they want advice about what to do because they don't want to be separated from each other. And her husband has two more years on his PhD studies in Texas. So people are just left in uncertainty because of this uncertainty that it creates for those individuals.
Mana Yaghani is an immigration lawyer in Houston. Thanks for being with us, Mana.
Thank you. My pleasure.